T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Haw, live and local, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, which is presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Biggs A!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you have the story, as always, and I'm curious to know why Jalen Johnson's running with the twos. I understand it's an OTA. I understand that none of it matters, and when the season starts, things will likely be significantly different. But, you know, Matt Eberflus had a chance to say some nice things about him the last time we heard from him, and he didn't choose to go there. And now, clearly, they're not delighted that he hasn't been around for the whole offseason program, and he's looking for a buy-in from Jalen Johnson. Do you agree?
Yeah, I that's how I would read it. You know, and it, listen, things could look different in the middle of June when they have a mandatory mini camp and everybody's going to be there, and, or everybody should be there. Jalen certainly will be there. And so that jumped out at you yesterday when you saw people like Kendall Vildor and some others running with the ones opposite Kyler Gordon. But when asked about Jalen following the practice yesterday, he said, listen, I didn't have a lot to say about the guy a week ago because I hadn't had a chance to look at him yet. He got to look at him for a full week, and he said that he liked, how he moves. He likes to change of direction, says he's got good hands and he's got good size. You add all that up and you take a look at what other options the Bears have, and it's pretty clear Jalen Johnson will be a starter for them this season. And maybe the coach and the staff have delivered a message along the way, because there's no such thing as a depth chart in late May.
You know, Brad, though, I like my football coaches who aren't easily impressed. And I wonder if this is over, or looking too far into that, or if that's maybe overstating it. But it doesn't seem like Matt Eberflus has come to town and been effusive in his praise of the quarterback. And now he's taken this sort of approach with Jalen Johnson. I don't mind that. I think that's a good thing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Boy, he has praised the quarterback, though. Yeah, yesterday, talking about how he thinks they could be ahead with what they're doing with the quarterbacks and in the quarterback room. You know, he's sitting in the quarterback room, I believe, almost every day. He's taken in part of that because, obviously, the development of Justin Fields is huge to the beginning of his program. Now, I think you could probably pose the question, well, based on Matt Eberflus's background as a position coach, coordinator, and all that, how much experience does he have knowing whether a quarterback's ahead of schedule, on schedule, or behind schedule. Right? You know, this is the guy who sat in defensive meeting rooms, linebacker rooms, secondary rooms, that sort of thing. And the Bears could be ahead right now. They feel like they've got some sharp guys. They feel like they're doing a good job of absorbing a lot of information they're getting from Luke Getsy as they try to put this thing together. But there's no pads on yet, and all of this could change in a heartbeat. And the caveat with all of it is it's going to be really noteworthy the next time a coach says, you know what, we feel like we're behind with the installation of whatever, or we feel like we're behind in getting to what we want to do. That would be, you know, you stop the presses for that kind of news.
What did you think of, I guess, the Pilates improved, not so much beer drinking, Tevin Jenkins? What was your take on a guy who's gone from 30% body fat to 24%? Was it noticeable? Did he look more fit?
And leaner, is that what, leaner and meaner.
Yeah, and is that what they're after when you say get your running shoes and show it to us?
Yeah, well, they want those guys lighter, especially, you know, those big guys that you just wonder how they're going to fit. And it might be even a little bit more important on defense. When they talk about trying to play, you know, they want their defensive linemen to play sideline to sideline, which that's a tall order, right? Mm-hmm. With Tevin Jenkins, I think it's a wait and see, guys. I think it's a good thing for him that he's back on the right side, at least for now. I think that gives him the best chance to have success. He had the back surgery last year. Missed a ton of practice time, obviously. Struggled when he was out there on the field. So you almost kind of you have to take a wait-and-see approach. You just try to forget what happened in year one. And they've talked about everybody having a clean slate, right? All the players. So he's certainly a guy that'll benefit from that. But I think you just have to take a wait-and-see approach from him. You know, as a rookie in the NFL, trying to settle in, coming off back surgery, I don't know how much beer he was having then, but that probably wasn't the greatest idea at the time as you're trying to settle in as a pro, right?
Probably not, Brad. Probably not. So were you able to pick up any clues, any hints about the Robert Quinn situation after hearing from Matt Eberflus?
No, I asked him if he expects Robert to be there for mandatory minicamp, and he said he hopes so. You know, another guy we haven't seen is Al-Quadin Muhammad, the defensive end that they signed in free agency who had been with the Colts. So he's a guy that Eberflus targets to, let's sign this guy. He knows the program. He knows the scheme. He fits it. And we haven't seen him out on the field. Now, whatever's going on with him, I'm not sure. Maybe they just want to take it easy with him. Obviously, the coaches, all of them on the defensive side of the ball, really know him pretty well. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. But the Quinn situation, we'll have to see how it plays out. If Robert Quinn indeed would like a trade, I honestly believe that would be the best for all parties involved. The team trading him, which would be the Bears, the team acquiring him, which would be Team X and Robert Quinn. But you got to wait and see how that shakes out. And it could be that no one has the need right now that they'd be willing to give up, a decent draft pick to Ryan Poles to acquire him.
Brad, there's a lot of stuff going on at the league meetings, right? I mean, there's all sorts of rumors that Roger Goodell said aren't true about looking at the Washington Commanders owner, Daniel Snyder, and figuring out if you can get rid of him. There are rumors about when or how quickly they're going to come to a resolution on Deshaun Watson. We heard Goodell talk about that for the first time yesterday. And there are all sorts of interesting ideas regarding the Pro Bowl. What is the most interesting thing that's going on right now, in your opinion, and what are you waiting to hear?
Well, that you know, the Commanders situation with Snyder, that's kind of been a cloud that's been hanging out there for a while now. The Watson thing, I think, is what most people are probably dialed into right now, because you figure that has to happen, you know, probably before the start of training camp or early in training camp. They would want the Browns to be able to make plans with the backup quarterback for 4 games, 6 games, whatever the suspension length will be for Watson. You'd think that they could move toward a resolution in terms of the league and making that happen. One of the other interesting things, guys, is that came out yesterday, I think, is they talked about, or they didn't talk about, they did announce that the Rooney Rule will be applied to quarterback coaches now, mm-hmm. right? So they've expanded it to a position coach, and that's because the league as a whole hasn't had a great deal of success promoting minority candidates into offensive coordinator positions, which, as we all know, can be a springboard to a guy then becoming a head coach. So the decision to go ahead and do that, I thought was interesting, and will obviously have a great impact on teams that are switching coaching staffs, or you know, where guys are promoted out of that position. You know, you see the quarterback's coach serves in that role for a year or two. For a team that has a really hot quarterback, and then it's just a trickle-down effect. The offensive coordinator gets promoted or hired somewhere else, so they bump up the quarterback coach. So you're going to see, some real movement in the next couple of years because of the enhancement of that rule to that specific position, the quarterback coach.
Brad, year three, big one for Cole Kmet. I think he realizes that and he recognizes that, and his words yesterday reflected that. What did you hear, and how would you describe his state of mind as we sit here in May?
Well, Cole's always interesting to talk with, and he's always really positive, you know, and I thought it was important that you heard a lot of energy in his voice, a lot of optimism, which is normal, but you know, he doesn't want to talk about season goals or this or that. It's a day-to-day thing for him. They talk about his uncle Jeff Scanina, who was a defensive lineman in the league for 17 seasons, and he said his uncle told him he went to work every day feeling like he might be cut, and that's kind of how his mindset was, to put in the work he needed to continue to excel. And Cole obviously doesn't fear being cut today or tomorrow at Hollis Hall. But it's that mindset of having to put in the work to get better. He specifically said there's two things he's working on, guys, that he's kind of trying to zero in on, and that's being a better hands catcher, using his hands, not letting the ball get into his body, and you know, being more violent through his blocks, which is difficult to get done at this time of year with no pads on. But those are two things that he's hoping to be better at when the Bears start the regular season. He took note of some tight ends in this system, this Kubiak offense, that have had a lot of success. George Kittle, obviously, with the 49ers. Robert Tonyan, the McHenry product that's up with the Green Bay Packers. So he's hoping that things can take off, but you know, he just hasn't gotten the opportunities. Think back to last year. I asked him about it yesterday, guys, that, you know, complete lack of opportunities in the red zone that he had a year ago. And he said, well, you know, I have thought about that. I can only control what I can control. So he referenced, you know, two plays. There were two plays that he's like, yeah, I could have done a better job on these. And I have thought about it, what I would do differently. And he didn't have more opportunities for a variety of reasons. There was stuff in the offense. The defense covered it up. The quarterback didn't get to him. So hopefully he can be a bigger part of the offense this year, because the you know, Cole Kmet's going to emerge as a threat in the passing game story hasn't really come to fruition yet.
And you know, I got to be honest with you. I look at where the Bears are at, and I'm not as concerned as everyone seems to be about all the weaponry around Justin Fields and can he get the ball to different players. My concern is the protection. And I just think that's more relevant to his development than whether or not he's got, you know, great receivers around him. I just want the guy to be upright.
Well, and we're not going to know about that protection for quite some time, right? Yeah, with again, Larry Borum at left tackle yesterday, Tevin Jenkins at right tackle. There was one play where Jenkins had a false start. They went ahead and ran the play, and before they got to the next one, he was standing back with the group, and he had been replaced by Julian Davenport, who could project as the swing tackle this season, and they had Dakota Dozier getting more snaps at right guard than Sam Mustipha. Now, this stuff could be completely different today, gentlemen, when media is not allowed at Palace Hall. If Dakota Dozier is the starting option at right guard for the Bears, they could have some issues this season. And as I've said to you guys for a while now, I still think there's a possibility, at least, that the starting right guard for this season isn't currently on the roster.
Very interesting. Great stuff, Brad. Always a joy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man for the Chicago Tribune.
Doesn't bode well for Bulldozer.
Oh, boy. See, I told you. I'm going to find that article and send it to you when the show's over. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
In more positive injury news, as you guys just saw, Lance Lynn completed a couple rounds of batting practice today, including against Eloy Jimenez, who is looking very good at this time. And it's reasonable to expect that both players will continue on a pace that would allow him to begin rehab assignments within the next week for both players.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That was yesterday. That was Rick Hahn out at the ball yard. You saw Lance Lynn pitching from the mound, and that has been one of the kind of watershed events we've been looking forward to in terms of his recovery. It was not whether he could throw or whether he could play catch or whether where he was. It was whether he could feel good the day after, and we'll find out, I suppose, today. He would feel good after throwing off the mound, and hopefully that is the case, and he is heading to a rehab assignment. I was very surprised that I knew Lance Lynn was gearing up, and I know that Aloy has been talking about feeling well and better and all
that. He's been around.
And he's been running. And
which makes you think that he's on track.
Ahead of schedule.
And progressing well. Yeah, definitely ahead of schedule. And I think we want to be fair here because, and I don't want to lump you in with me, but like when this happened on April 23rd or 24th, whenever it was, about a month ago, and the 6 to 8 week projection was what every story included, I didn't buy it. I thought it was going to be longer. I think given his injury history, that made me think, okay, well, yeah, sure. This injury, he looked bad. It looked serious. And you thought surgery, okay, we're talking July. I thought beginning of July at the earliest, end of June, perhaps. I didn't think we'd be talking first week in June as a return for Aloy, but that's what we're looking at.
That's crazy.
And that was the most surprising thing that came out of yesterday.
But it's great news.
Yes, absolutely.
They can't score runs. And the last I checked, Aloy can hit home runs.
Might even make them interesting to watch.
Oh, boy. Now you're jumping on me. And I was being sincere about
no,
that.
No, I'm just kidding.
But I think, David, that teams are more interesting to watch when they have young talent coming up or young talent returning from injury or talent,
period.
And that's the situation with the Cubs because there's some talent on the way, right?
Well, yeah. And then on the other side of town, the interesting tidbit was that Gordon Whitmire wrote about this. I think other people have as well. I saw his story. But Caleb Killian could be making his major league debut as early as Monday. Now, some things have to happen, and certainly the Cubs have to be on board and push the right buttons. But there is a suggestion that with the schedule and, you know, getting really difficult with 9 games in 7 days, then they could be facing the need for starting pitchers. And Caleb Killian, who is killing it in AAA Iowa, might be in line to bring his 1.31 ERA to the majors and see what you have. And at that point in time, if you're a Cub fan, you suddenly become intrigued by Killian, Thompson, Steele on the same team at the same time at the major league level. These are young pitchers, and these are foundational pieces. And if you are looking ahead to the future, which outweighs the present right now, it's exciting. It would be. And I think you'd want to see how long they want him to stay. Would it be just a Davis Martin-like appearance, one and done, go back to AAA, or if he does well, does he stick around for a while?
And I apologize because I think it was MLB Pipeline, but I honestly get confused because I read so many different things. But I believe it was one of the top prospect lists. I want to say it was MLB Pipeline. Has Peter Crow Armstrong at number 97 in their top 100. So there's another young Cubs player. Now, you've talked to him. You and Bruce had him on as a guest. It was an excellent interview.
He's a great kid.
Yeah, he was great. And I have been monitoring various comings and goings with some of those guys because I think it's exciting. I mean, Caleb Killian has answered all the questions, in my opinion. He's ready to step up and to be able to be pretty good. So always curious to see when young guys come up and always keeping half an eye on some of this, some of the minor league information, if you will, some of the those status reports on how quickly guys are rising in the ranks, etc.
And I think that Caleb Killian has a start today at AAA Iowa against Memphis at 11 a.m.
Where the hell is Memphis?
I think David Bodie had a big day, big night at Memphis.
Yeah,
for the
you
Iowa
were right
Cubs.
The first time day.
Was it a day game?
Do you know what drives me wild? just something else.
Uh-oh. What else?
Tonight.
How much time we have?
Because they're playing the game's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tonight, this evening. It's the afternoon. It's not night.
But people fall into habits, and especially players, you give them the benefit of the doubt.
Let's get it accurate.
11 a.m. is morning.
Please don't say 11 a.m. this morning, because that's redundant. And, that drives me crazy as a reader.
That's very true.
If it's 11 a.m. this morning, you don't need this morning.
You know what drives me insane? Is if I hear play-by-play where a guy says, there's 5 minutes left to go. There's 5 minutes left, or there's 5 minutes to go. I don't need left to go. Right. Mother of God, that one drives me crazy. My ears bleed over that.
That's a tough one.
Okay, so the White
Sox. The point being that David Bodie played in the afternoon.
Okay. And David Bodie
yesterday afternoon, I said that right.
And he had a big day, right?
He was like 3 for 3 at one point.
Yeah, okay. I thought that, because my Bodie meter went off.
Yeah, but don't say yesterday night.
Last night, Bodie had a big day.
Yesterday, he had a good day. Was during the day. Okay.
Gritted teeth. He's
look at him. He just looks like he's ready to get. Let me find my list.
I'm going to censor him.
We have, oh my God. Holy cow. Stop the show. We got to re-record
it. Low hanging fruit. 3, 2, 1.
That's terrible. Don't make fun of that. I find this very interesting. We haven't spoken of it yet. The White Sox were destroyed yesterday by the Bo Sox, 16-3 was the final score. And we haven't mentioned it, and probably because many of us abandoned the game. But later on in the game, the White Sox brought in Jake Berger, who made his debut at second base in MLB. He played second base. Now, nothing was hit to him. Everything went to the left side. But Jake Berger did play second base in Major League Baseball.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I do think that was one of those little things that happened that would be easy to overlook in a 16-3 game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not insignificant, because I think what that says is they're trying to find a way to keep him up here. And maybe we're reading too much into it, but let's do that. They're trying to find a way to keep his bat up here. They're trying to find a way to supplement a position that is pretty weak right now. And Jake Berger being able to play second base would do both, as well as you almost concede certain things about this White Sox season. And one of them might be they're not going to be very good defensively anyway. You're just not going to be a good defensive team. You're not that team. So if you aren't going, if you are not going to be a very good defensive team.
Don't finish that sentence. I know exactly where you're going. You're saying, hey, who needs a double play?
Who needs a double play? How much concern can you have over the guy's ability to turn two if you don't really have a good defensive team? You're not that confident right now without him. So if he can hit and he can catch a ground ball, don't worry about his range. He'll figure out how to turn two. Maybe more at-bats would be not such a bad thing for Jake Berger at second base for the Sox.
Well, Jay Hay might have a different idea.
Who asked him? Who cares what Hayward thinks of the White Sox?
No, Jay Hay.
Oh, the other Jay Hay.
Josh Harrison. Okay. He may well.
Okay, Gordon.
Well, I mean, I take my lead from Gordon. You know that. He may. We have talked about this idea that Yolbert Sanchez should come up because he's holding back Lenin Sosa, and he's keeping Lenin Sosa in the Birmingham system, and maybe he should come up, and would they move on from Jay Hay, because Jay Hay and Leury seem to be kind of similar players and neither one really helps you a ton, and Tony's in love with what you get from Leury. And I'm not suggesting that they get rid of Jay Hay, but we have talked about that idea. And if indeed you need Jake Berger to play, don't you need him to be able to play someplace other than third base?
Yes,
or
you do.
Do you think that Moncada, who told Ozzie that he's still dealing with his injury, maybe he should sit down and get some more Berger? Or should you have Josh Harrison play third base?
Play third base, and he does it well. Josh Harrison's pretty good glove guy and versatile. But I don't think
But
that,
you said you don't want defense. You wanted to you were,
I'm
you
not
were
worried
hoping
about
they could
defense
bring in some
this
kind of,
season if Jake yeah, Burger
You want it, a butcher to play
No,
base.
Not
That's
a butcher, a burger.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe a burger.
Misunderstood.
Made me think of a burger if you talk about a butcher. You need some offense, and if you need offense and you think Jake Burger helps you provide more run support for your pitching staff, which deserves better, then maybe you find a spot for him. That's all I'm saying. I would disagree with one thing that you said. As much as he's an easy target and as easy as it is to criticize when he bats second, Lourdes Garcia has a place on this team, I think, in this infield because of his ability to hit from the left side. You don't want to sacrifice a left-handed bat in this sort of, you know, mixing and matching your infield pieces. Yolbert Sanchez is a right-handed hitter. I would be okay with bringing him up as well to see what you have because I think defensively he isn't a liability. Actually, I think he's pretty good.
But you'd have to cut someone because he's not on the 40.
Yeah, and I think you would. And I don't know who that is, but I don't know that Jay Hay has as secure of a spot as I thought at the beginning of the season. Not a big investment. Certainly you aren't scoring enough runs, and you're going to have to make some difficult decisions if you still struggle to score runs after you get everybody back. And I think that will be the truest test. When Aloy comes back, when Louis Robert comes back, when those guys are in the lineup together, are you still struggling to score runs? You shouldn't. You really shouldn't.
Well, can't Jay Berg, as one of our texters called him, can't he score runs more than Jay Hay?
Jay Berg. I'm not going with Jay Berg.
Why not?
Jay Berg. Okay. Jay Berg, there's a lot to like about having Berger around, right?
I was sad when he went down, but he had struck out quite a bit. I was kind of hoping that Gavin Sheets would go down just because I think for whatever reason, and it's handedness, Tony seems to prefer putting Gavin Sheets in the lineup over Andrew Vaughn, and I want more Andrew Vaughn. So if I have to get Gavin Sheets out of there to get more Andrew Vaughn, I'd be willing to do that.
I think that Andrew Vaughn should play every day. And if there's seven games in a week, you play six of them at least.
And you would like him at what position?
Andrew Vaughn can play left to right. I'm not supplanting Jose Abreu from first. He could DH as well.
But
he
has to be ninth in the batting order.
No, he doesn't have to bat ninth. I would bat him. I would be fine with batting him sixth, seventh, second. I mean, he's at some point in time, he's been your at points, different points, he's been your hottest hitter. And I understand this, the sensitivity and the respect that I have for a veteran in Josh Harrison, because I liked him a lot more than you did in the offseason. I thought this was going to go a little bit better than it has. But I don't think that we should, you know, waste too much time lamenting over the potential loss of a guy hitting 176. I mean,
this is the problem. There's no way around it. 312-644-6767. Ron is on the south side. Always a joy to talk to Ron. Hey, Ron.
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, I did have a question about Yoan Moncada. I heard Ozzy said that he still hurt. You know, but Molly, look here. Now, you know, I listen to you guys right when you come on, and you mentioned something very, very dear to my heart as a child when you mentioned the great Dick the Bruiser the Crusher, but Ben Bud Rashke, me and my childhood buddy. Because, you know, I mean, other than going to South, I loved going to the Amateur, but me and my buddy remember the last wrestling match we attended. Baron Von Raskin against Vern Gagne, and Baron Von Raskin would put the claw on you.
The claw!
And he put the claw on Gagne. Gagne got out, put the sleep on him once. I had to get that in, man. I just love listening to you guys.
Oh, God.
Just mention that wrestling.
That's so funny.
Okay,
Ron,
go
I love
Sox.
It. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Great stuff, Ron.
So my daughter, I taught her the claw, and we used to when she was a 2-year-old, she would come at me with the claw, and I would like try to turn. Like I would go at her, and
that's
then
cute.
She'd turn it on me, and then
that's cute.
And you could do that to
How
Baron
about
von Raskin.
Did he say the
you
sleeper?
You could turn. Yeah, that was Vern Gagne. Yeah. But you could turn von Raskin's claw on himself, And he would be like terrified as it came at him and he clawed himself. And I would do that with my kid when she was a little kid.
That was fun.
I thought it was like the funniest thing ever. And I remember showing my brother, like, hey, show us the claw. And she did the claw. And the two of us like fell over laughing.
What would she do if you did that today?
You know what? I'm going to try that. She's coming home from college.
She'd get on nostalgic.
Friday. I'll
probably remembers her. That well.
As long as she doesn't turn the claw on me. Because that is the danger.
How about the sleeper hold? Is that what Jose Abreu was giving to Tim Anderson the other day or Gavin Sheets when they were holding him back from Josh Donaldson? That was quite a move.
Oh, man. All right. We've got Chris Chelios. We'll talk to Chelly next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score. Chris Chelios.
Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith to head to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a lot of fun to talk to our guy Chris Chelios, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah, we're holding up. And just curious, you know, we were talking about the Lightning because that's David's favorite subject. Are they a dynasty as they move to the Eastern Conference Finals here? How good do you think of them, and how do you figure them as a dynasty?
I mean, they're such a great team. And that now this is like 5 years now they've been to the finals and, you know, or could be to the finals. You know, they're committed, boy. You watch the way they, you know, shut teams down and win series, and then the way they block shots. And obviously, Vasilevskiy leads the way, the best goalie in the world. But, you know, it's tough. You think of the history of hockey, there's only three teams that ever won three in a row, which is kind of, you know, crazy if you think about the great Montreal teams. Edmonton didn't do it. You know, Chicago, we won the three cups over a course of, you know, 5-6 years. So for them to win three in a row definitely puts them in that category of being a dynasty if they, you know, pull it off again this year. I'd like to see them get Braden Point back, and I think they would for sure, you know, be the favorites. But we'll see. But they're such a great team, and I love their coach, Cooper. So definitely a dynasty if they win this one.
He's a great coach, yeah, and that's a great story, Chelly. And they look capable of doing it and pulling it off three in a row. And yet you can't say that because you look at the Avs, you look at that series, you look at the way the Oilers are playing lately. This is up for grabs, it feels like. And what makes the NHL playoffs, especially this year,
yeah,
so much better than the NBA? Because the NBA is blowout city. The NHL, you can't turn away even when you want to go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, NBA, you might as well just watch the last 10 minutes of it. But the NHL, you've had 8 or 9 teams, I think, had over 100 points this year, especially the East, how competitive, you know, it was. No one saw, you know, what happened to Florida, you know, with Tampa doing what they did to them. But, you know, you look at Colorado, and they're coming on now, too. I think St. Louis, I like the way they played. They lost Binnington. That killed them. And that's all it takes sometimes. You've seen the injuries to goalies this year in playoffs, too. Guys running goalies, and they're going to have to do something about that to protect these goalies. You saw what Lucic did to Smith, ran him and didn't get suspended for it. I think he let up, but no reason in the world why he shouldn't even been close to him on that forecheck. But, you know, NBA, they seem to, you know, quit, and you see these big, huge spreads, and, you know, they just shut it down to players. And you watch Golden State, you know, they're that Curry leads the way. They're shooting threes from, you know, 3 feet past or outside of that line. So it's crazy. But this has been the best playoffs I can remember. And now that it's, you know, on ESPN and TNT, it's getting so much coverage and people are loving it.
No question. And you know, it's funny because sometimes you watch them and you see former Blackhawks players, you know, and you just kind of shake your head. Antti Raanta,
yeah,
the old goalie, he's having
that?
A run. What's 33 that about?
Years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saad, you know, he's playing well for St. Louis, and you got Panarin, who I'm sure that's still a sore subject.
Ouch.
Letting him go over the Rangers doing what he did. I thought that was one of the biggest mistakes, you know, that the Hawks had made over the course of their tenure. He would have been a heck of a player to have, but it's fun to keep. I'm sure that the Chicago fans, you know, it's been such a tough year for the Hawks. At least you got some players to cheer for in the playoffs, and I kind of like that. There's guys that I cheer for that have been here before, or, you know, the Wings or other teams I've played for.
So, Chelly, we're in Chicago here all week debating this whole Tim Anderson, Josh Donaldson incident and whether or not Donaldson crossed the line when he yelled, "Hey, Jackie," to Tim Anderson. And I think that you're looking in the NHL, too. The Avs are dealing with their own sort of backlash over some really racist fans abusing and heckling one of their players. What's the line, and has it changed where the line is, and how do you view this as a former player seeing what happened in hockey and as well as, you know, obviously here in Chicago? Is the line as blurry as it ever has been about what to say in terms of trash talking?
Absolutely. I mean, now we live in the sensitive world, and you just I don't know what Donaldson meant by it still. I didn't find it to be that bad, but you just got to be smarter about it. And, you know, you don't know who's telling the truth. That's the other thing. But, you know, back in the day, you know, some of the things that came out of guys' mouths, even, you know, towards me, you know, I thought it was funny, but you can't have that sense of humor anymore because, you know, we're divided as a country, unfortunately, because of politics. And you're going to get, you know, 50% of the people basically that don't like what you said and 50% of the people who don't care that seem to have thicker skin, let it ride. But it's just this day and age, you just got to be more sensitive to, you know, what you're saying. And especially with the racing, that's ridiculous. These, you know, the idiots, you know, doing this with Kadri. I mean, I've had death threats. Gary Suter had him when he hit, you know, Paul Kariya, but nothing to do with race. That shouldn't even be a part of it.
Yeah. You know, I think that's what's so disappointing. And that's the word for it. You know, just the way I understand that people can be, they can be polarized by politics, but I don't understand why anyone would think to me, there's a line, and if people are walking up to it or crossing it, they're just looking for trouble, and I can't stand that. There's nothing that frosts me more than that. Chris, did you ever have to deal with fans yelling stuff? I mean, it's guys saying stuff is one thing, but what about people yelling stuff at you or sending you nasty messages or, you know, threatening, whatever it might be?
Oh, absolutely. And being Greek, you know, you get a little bit. I grew up on the South Side, and, you know, they're a little racist down there on the South Side back in the day. It's segregated, and you know, that's how it just was. But like I said, those days are over. Everybody's got to realize, you know, it's a very sensitive thing, and you see what's going on throughout the country, and it's got to get better, you know, everywhere. And then I think social media, you know, we didn't have that back then either.
Right.
You know, so the minute someone says something, it's nationwide. And that has a lot to do with it, too. It gets way more attention than it did when I played or, you know, earlier, like, let's say 20 years ago. I think, you know, that's the biggest issue. It's out there now, and in it's in the news, and anybody has access to it. So that doesn't help things either when it comes to an issue like this.
All right, Chris, so time for your pick. The Avs lead the series 3-1, have the Blues tonight, 7 o'clock in Denver. Who you picking?
I'm going with Colorado without Binnington. You know, Billy Husso has played well during the regular season, but they've gotten to him, and now Kadri's caught on fire, and you know they're on fire in all cylinders. That Cale Makar is an unreal defenseman. You know, now I'm getting the chance to see him in the playoffs to see what he does. I don't see, you know, Colorado not finishing this series out tonight.
Great stuff, Chris. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Chris.
Guys, take care.
Have a great
week.
That
is BetMGM ambassador Chris Chelios. You can see him on ESPN. He's doing a great job, a lot of fun. And we've got a Wednesday.
It's a Layla Wednesday.
It's a Layla Wednesday.
All right.
That's right. Thank God. And we'll talk to the other guy, too.
That other guy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 at Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.